Okay, would you turn your Bible to Genesis chapter 37? Genesis chapter 37. And you may say, what happened to chapter 36? Well, in your own leisure time, read it. You will have a lot of funny pronunciation coming along. They are nothing but names, genealogies. So have fun with it. Some of you know that I have an elder brother who is a chief neurosurgeon in Seoul, South Korea. He's brilliant, brilliant. Just he never had anything other than A in entire school years. Mostly A+. Contrary to him, I had a variety of different letters. My teacher liked me so much that they even gave me the pretty red letter thing. F stand for fabulous, right? When it came to school stuff, my mom and dad loved my older brother because he was never caused a problem. For me, yay! My daddy was OBGYN doctor. And my brother is a neurosurgeon. And some of you are thinking, what happened to you? Every family got to have a black sheep, right? So here I am. But when it comes to being friendly, they favored me because my brother was a rather cold person to everyone for whatever reason. I was a happy-go-lucky kid who could have cared less about the studying. So I thought that was stupid until I went to college. Though it was not complete favoritism, it still brought the tension between my brother and me. I'm glad it was not complete like what we see in the book of Genesis, Esau and Jacob. And now we see the Jacob's sons. Joseph was a favorite son. Benjamin was not there yet. Joseph was a favorite son of Jacob because he was the son of his beloved wife, Rachel. Jacob knew all too well about the favoritism by parents because Esau was a favorite of his daddy, Isaac, and Jacob was a favorite of his mama. And it just brought a lot of problem. He ought to know better, but he did it anyway. In his stupidity and passive attitude, he repeated the same mistake his parents made. He favored two sons, Joseph and Benjamin. But other sons and daughter, he kind of neglected them. Of course, the kid, you don't think that your kid do not understand whom you like most. They do know. Jacob was asking for nasty family trouble that caused a conspiracy to murder and human slavery and deception. Yet, God used all these awful things to bring glory to himself, as we will see. Joseph is the man who responds to the broken dreams and impossible circumstances with faith that propelled him from the pit of the slavery to the pinnacle of power. Listen carefully before I go any further. I'm going to say this. Whatever the circumstance you had, okay, whatever is the circumstance you had, you don't have to be the byproduct of that circumstance. You can overcome if you want to, especially in this country, in the land of opportunity. Not like other countries, third world country, you're done. India, you're done. Classified society, you cannot be anything other than in that class. But in America, it's a different story. Many people come up with their own excuse. I heard all of them when I was doing the prison ministry. When you own up your own situation, when you work hard, you can do better. We can find the life of Joseph, which expand throughout the rest of the Genesis from chapter 37 all the way to chapter 50, with the exception of chapter 38. I find the three sections. Number one, Joseph start. From birth to age 17, Genesis 30, 24 to 37, 1. Joseph's mother and the three other women are competing for his father's love and attention in his family. To make the matter worse, from the beginning, Joseph was loved by his father exclusively, since his mother was the love of his father's life. This brought envy and hatred by everyone else. Second stage is Joseph's struggle from age 17 until age 30 in Genesis 37, verse 2 to chapter 40. As Joseph entered into young manhood, contention, envy turned into rejection by his own brothers, and that which led to enslavement and imprisonment. Third stage, we will find that Joseph's success, age 30 to his death, Genesis chapter 42 to chapter 50, verse 26. The last 80 years of his life was filled with prosperity under God's blessing. Joseph had a perfect chance to revenge on his brothers. But he blessed them and he brightened their lives instead. We will find him as a typology of Jesus Christ. Let's stop and pray. Father, indeed, as we sing, you are a good, good Father. There is no one like you. There is no one can love us like you can love us. So we'll praise you with all of our heart and mind and soul. And we praise you and we tell others your mercy and miraculous work. And we rejoice in you, in your marvelous work and your kindness and the salvation through Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for giving us this word that will guide us in such a way that we may know what to do when we face the situation. It is so easy for us to have envy because we are living in the competitive world. It is so easy to hate someone because our emotion can be very high. Father, we are asking you to teach us, speak to us, your principles and precepts, so that we may understand your ways that bring glory to your holy name. Father, now we pray for our president and all the politicians and judges in this country. Father, we are asking your will be done in them, and they may do what brings glory to your name, not what they want. Father, we also pray for our troops. Our troops, that they may be protected from the harm's way. In light of the peace talk with the Taliban, still there will be a threat against our troops who are deployed. Until the last man comes home, we pray for their safety. And we also pray for our law enforcement personnel and firefighters. Father, we pray for their safety. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Roger, would you go out and get Ben because he can adjust the sound, please? Thank you. Verse 1 of chapter 37. Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old and was feeding the flock, was his brother. And the lad was with the son of Bilhah, the sons of Zilpah, and his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report, note that word, bad report, of them to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Stop there, please. Joseph was a kind of pampered favorite son who didn't mind tattling on his daddy about his brothers. The word bad report in Hebrew word is a snitch. Joke, bad joke. The outward display of this, the Jacob gave him the colorful tunic. It's not a kind of color like a techno color. Would you put up that? There you go. Anybody can see. Even the Helen Keller can see that thing. This tunic was more than just simple gift. It's like a robe, ankle length, and the long sleeve. In other words, you are not supposed to work with a long sleeve tunic. Because what they used to do is they had a belt and they gird themselves, anything long, they tuck into the belt so they can work in the field. It's much easier when it's shorter. But when you have a long sleeve and ankle length, you're pretty much not working. That means you are higher class. And with a color, different colors, you can sticks out like a sore thumb. Hatred is terrible sin because it generates other sins. In Proverbs 10:12 says, hatred stir up the strife, but love covers all sins. Anyone who claims to be in the light, but hate his brother is still in the darkness. Hatred in the heart is a moral equivalent of the murder, according to Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, 21 to 22. Think about it. Okay. If you're done writing, please pay attention to what I say. If you think about someone, whether it's your ex-spouse, husband, or ex-wife, or somebody, your boss, if you have the gall coming out from you in your heart, if you have that bad taste in your mouth, that means you are hating that person. Are you with me? Your hate will generate something else and something else. And our hate in our heart is equivalent to the murder in our heart. Old Testament Pharisees would say, well, we are not supposed to kill. I haven't killed anybody. But Jesus said, if you hate someone in your heart, it's the same thing as killing that person. It's hard to live by it. Every nightly news, I have to repent. When I watch this political news. Now, Joseph had, verse 5, Joseph had a dream. He told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So they said to him, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood around and bowed down to my sheaf. And his brother said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have a dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dream and for his word. No wonder, right? So then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers. This Joseph is kind of slow. He doesn't get it. And said, look, I have a dream, another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and even 11 stars bow down to me. So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in his mind. Stop there, please. At best, Joseph showed a great lack of tact, don't you think? But then again, he was 17. Surely he knew how much his brother hated him, but I guess he didn't mind telling them. If Joseph was unwise in telling his first dream, knowing how irritating it was to his brother, he was even more wrong sharing his second dream. At this point, Joseph is a contrast to Jesus. Jesus wanted us to be as he was on this earth, an other-centered person. Joseph seems to fall short in this area for now. These two dreams brought envy and malice into the heart of his 10 brothers, not wise. Speaking of other-centered, ask yourself, am I doing the work of God? Am I doing this for others, or am I doing this for myself? Motive is very important. You may come here, serve all the time. But if you're doing it so that you can be recognized, you're doing it in all with the wrong motive. Are you with me? We may see what you do, but God sees what you have in your mind. So make sure your motive is correct. It's been said envy was the most precious daughter of the devil because it follows his footstep by hindering good and promoting evil. Envy has a sister named malice, and the two usually work together. How true. Envy gives us inward pain when we see others succeed, and malice gives us inward satisfaction when we see others fail. Envy and malice usually generate slander and unwarranted criticism, and when these two sins hide behind the veil of a religious zeal and self-righteousness, the poison they produce is even more deadly. I get convicted from this because sometimes I say the things that I should not say. I often said this to you guys. I never regret for not saying the things that I thought about. Because if I said everything properly, I would be in the 6 feet under. During the Old Testament and New Testament time, the Lord used the dreams to speak to his people. We see many occasions throughout the Old Testament, we find the people, even the prophet, see God in a dream. Can the Lord still use a dream to speak to us? He can. He's God. He can do whatever he wants. Am I going to tell him, no, you cannot do that because we are living in the New Testament time? No, I'm not going to tell him. He can do whatever he wants. But we have something more assured than the dream. Because you can have a strange dream if you have a bad burrito. Okay? If you have a hot enchilada, you can have a really weird dream. We have something more sure than anything else, the Word of God. You can trust this thing. As long as you correlate with other verses, then make sure, keep it in context, then the Word of God is always right. Are you with me? Verse 12, please. When his brother went to feed his father's flock in Shechem, and Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." So he said to him, "Here I am." Then he said to him, "Please go and see if it is well with your brothers and well with the flocks, and bring back word to me." So he sent him out of the valley of Hebron. He went to Shechem. Now a certain man found him there. He was wandering in the field. The man asked him, saying, "What are you seeking?" And he said, "I am seeking my brothers. Please tell me where they are feeding their flocks." And the man said, "They have departed from here, for I heard them saying, let us go to the Dothan." So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. Now when they saw him far off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Then they said to one another, "Look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say, some wild beasts have devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams." But Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hand, and said, "Let us not kill him." Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into the pit which is in the wilderness, and do not lay hands on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father." Stop there, please. The tunic Joseph wore like a waving red flag in front of a raging bull just brought more irritation and more rage on them. See, if I were him, probably it was not the best thing to wearing that kind of clothes when you travel. But then again, he's a teenager, right? Reuben was the firstborn, should have said, "You are not going to kill one of our brothers. Not on my watch." But he could not say that. You know why? Remember, he had sex with his father's concubine. In other words, nine brothers of Reuben no longer respect the man. And besides, at the end of Jacob's life, Jacob denounced his authority as a firstborn and gave the firstborn authority to Joseph. In my opinion, this is purely my opinion. You could say I'm wrong, but I'll say you're right, you're wrong. Just kidding. This is his way to redeem himself, saving Joseph, father's favorite son, and taking him back to the father when the other brothers want to kill him. That was his redemptive effort. His father, Jacob, later called Reuben as unstable as water. This perfect description is a compromising attitude. Active wickedness is always stronger than half-hearted godliness. Let me say one more time. Active wickedness is always stronger than half-hearted godliness. That's why he was subdued by the nine brothers. Okay, next one, I already said it. Next slide is already said. Okay, go to verse 23, please. So it came to pass then when Joseph had come to his brothers, they stripped Joseph of his tunic, and tunic of many colors was on him. Then they took him and cast him into the pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. They sat down to eat a meal. Then they lifted their eyes and looked. There was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camel, bearing spice, balm, and myrrh, on the way to carry them down to Egypt. So Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to Ishmaelite. Let us not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh." And his brothers listened. Then Midianite trader passed by, so the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him up out of the pit, sold him to the Ishmaelite for 20 shekels of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt. Then Reuben returned to the pit, and indeed Joseph was not in the pit. He tore his clothes. He returned to his brother and said, "The lad is no more, and I, where shall I go?" Joseph's brother must have a perverse pleasure as they rip off the tunic of the many colors that was worn by the Joseph. Just like that, each believer in Jesus Christ is given a special assurance of the Father's favor. But many spiritual enemies want to rip off the assurance of our Father in heaven from our believers. What is that assurance? New Testament says it's a guarantee, it's a down deposit. What would that be? The Holy Spirit within you. If you are born again Christian, Holy Spirit come into your heart, reside in your heart. That is an assurance that no one can take away from you. Am I making sense? It is difficult to understand how the man could sit down and calmly eat a meal while their own brothers suffering and begging them to set them free. It only took an instant from the voice of Joseph from the pit to reach their ears. But it took 22 years, that voice, that cry, to go from ears to their hearts. It didn't settle until they found him in Egypt, because their heart was filled with hatred and envy. That's the reason why we should not have a hatred and envy in our hearts. We cannot hear what God speaks to us. Some of you might say, "Well, that was many thousand years ago in Israel. It doesn't happen to us." Really? Watch the nightly news. How many murders happen because of envy and hatred? day after day. It's nothing new because it's a part of human depravity at its worst. Imagine your own sibling tossing you into the pit to die and sitting down for a meal and laughing with a cold heart. Imagine being sold to the trader as a slave, taken into the country you don't know. You cannot speak their language. And knowing that you may never see your mom and dad. And owned by the man, and he's the captain of the guard. And he has a right to kill anyone he wants. It's always start with a little resentment in our heart. If you let the seed of the envy takes a root in your heart or your children's heart, it will destroy the family's unity and harmony. Envy is one of the most effective and powerful arsenal of Satan. It always starts with a little resentment in our heart. So it's better for you to take care of that resentment in your heart. If you have actual envy, confess it to God and ask God to remove it from your heart. And then you start to love that person. Pray for that person. Verse 31, before we go there, James, our memory verse, James 3:16, please. Right after the book of Hebrews. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil things are there. How true. Back to Genesis 37, verse 31, please. So then they took Joseph's tunic and killed the kid of goat and dipped the tunic in the blood. Then they sent the tunic of many colors and they brought it to their father and said, we found this. Do you know where it is, whether it is your son's tunic or not? And he recognized it and said, it is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces. Then Jacob tore his clothes and put the sackcloth on his waist and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and his daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I shall go down into the grave to my son in mourning. Thus my father, his father wept for him. Now the Midianite had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, a captain of the guard. Stop there, please. They killed the kid of goat and used the blood on tunics. Does it sound familiar to you? Yeah, it should. Because that's what Rebecca, his mother, and he did to connive with their father, using the kid of goat, making a savory food for his father, and put the tunic, all that hair on the arms and the back of the neck, pretending to be Esau. Guess what? It made a full circle and came back to him. The sons of Jacob are using the blood of the goat to deceive his own father, who is none other than Jacob, who did the same kind of thing for his own father. Galatians chapter 6, please. Right before Ephesians, right after the 2 Corinthians. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever man sow, that he will also reap. Is that clear? Maybe you can relate to Joseph's situation. Maybe everything is going well with you, and all of a sudden the bottom drops out. You have no idea what is happening in your life. You're wondering if God knows what's going on. Take a heart. He knows everything. Listen to me, please. He allowed those things to come to you for his glory and for your growth, spiritual growth. If you trust him, that's the key. If you trust him, he will take you through this difficult time. Let me ask you two questions. Do you have a favorite child or among your children? Stop. Stop it. You will bring immense family problem later if you don't already have them. Let me stretch to the here. Do you have a favorite friend in this room? And do you have somebody you don't care to hang around? Do you think that's a partiality? That's how we make a clique in the church. Churches are known to have cliques. Don't make a clique and don't make a partiality. I said this, I will say it again. I do everything within my power to not to know who's giving how much in our church. Some people try to let me know so they can be recognized by me. And I tell them, I don't care how much you're giving to the church. That's between you and God. Don't let me know. The reason why I said it is, if I know, I'm a only human being, if I know you're giving $2 in 5 years, and while there's another person giving $20,000 in 2 months, do you think I would treat the other person better than the first one? Yeah, I would. That's only human nature. If I don't know, I would treat you all together, same way. Am I making sense? Second question. Do you have envy and hatred in your heart toward someone? Stop. You are sinning against the Lord. Repent. I have two applications since I asked the questions. Number one, no family is exempt from adversity. Partiality only makes it worse. Second application, no response is more cruel than envy. Mock it. If you have an envy or jealousy, which is interchangeable, stop. You are making yourself bitter. Amen? Let's stand up and pray.